Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We were not able to do the after action on the Saints game because of Veterans Day. We had our priorities in order. Zach Strief joins me today to talk about this game and what it means. Zach, welcome to the show.
Noel, thanks for having me, buddy.
Zach, it was a lot more fun talking about the veterans than I think it's going to be talking about this last game on Sunday.
Fair enough. Yeah, it was not a pleasant Sunday for all of us, for sure. It's an unexpected game.
You know, I was talking to some folks, and everyone along the in the season, you have hiccups. Can we just chalk this one up as a hiccup?
Sure. Listen, it's not like the team is suddenly bad, right? It's a talented team, and they played at a very high level, and they did not play that way on Sunday. And, you know, it's interesting, Noel. It's a kind of a hard thing to explain, but the level of emotional readiness that you need to play at that level is pretty extreme. And it's, in my opinion, the single hardest thing to do as a professional football player is to have yourself in that mental and emotional state every Sunday, as up as you need to be to play at that level. And there was a bunch of times that when I was playing where, you know, you sit in the locker room before a game and you just feel like, man, it's just not right. Doesn't feel right. I don't, you know, and it's hard to snap out of. It's not a switch thing. It takes, you know, time to get to that place. And I don't have an answer as to why that happens or how to keep it from ever happening. And it's one of your biggest responsibilities, you know, as a professional, is to get yourself in that mindset. And yet sometimes you don't. And when you don't, that's exactly what it looks like on the field.
Is it unreasonable or is it fair to say that the Falcons actually had more at risk?
You know, I don't feel that way. You know, I don't feel, you know, the phrase, you know, the more desperate team wins is pretty common, and it is a true statement. I don't think at 1-7 they're desperate. Their season's over. That team's not going to the playoffs, right? I mean, let's be honest. They're not going to win 8 straight, and I don't think 9-7 gets you in anyways. And so, you know, the whole, like, nothing to lose. If the Saints come out and they play the way they're capable of, it doesn't – none of that stuff really matters.
Right.
And the reality is they didn't, right? They didn't play – at that level that they've been playing at. And it, you know, it doesn't take much when the skill levels are as close as they are in the National Football League to look real bad in a hurry. You know, that there, it's a fine line. And, you know, I don't even know that they towed the fine line. I think they were pretty far away from it. And, you know, that is the result that you get, in my opinion, when you're not emotionally ready to play a football game.
Yeah. And it didn't really reveal itself that either side of the ball were they ready. You know, Drew got touched 16 times, I think 6 sacks. I hadn't seen that happen in I don't know how long.
Yeah, and listen, there's a lot of stuff that contributes to that. I think you could look at, you know, guys that didn't have good games. I think you can look at the fact that they only ran the ball 11 times, that you threw the ball over 45 times, you know, that all of those things contribute. And you know, when you get late in a football game and the other team knows that you can't run it, that you don't have time to run it, and you're going to throw the football and you've already won, those numbers are going to get ugly fast. You know, and it's kind of almost like a snowball effect that happens as an offensive lineman when you spend the entire game going backwards. Once they break through, you know, things can get a little bit dicey, and I think that's – everybody saw exactly what that looks like on Sunday.
Yeah, and you know, when you think about, we talk about this all the time, third down efficiency. It wasn't like the Falcons were lighting it up from a statistical perspective at all.
No, I mean, listen, they finished 6 of 15, right, which isn't great. And yet there were 3 of those plays that actually ended up as first downs because of penalties. So that makes them 9 of 15, which looks a lot better. And then they converted a fourth down, which makes them 10 of 15. And suddenly you'd say, boy, they played awfully well on third down. So, you know, sometimes the stat line at the end of a game is a little bit deceiving. You know, we all saw, you know, the Saints defensively kind of shoot themselves in the foot over and over and over again. And actually that doesn't even include the punt penalty. So, you know, so they end up 11 of 15 in that football game. So, you know, the stats don't always tell the whole story. You know, the Saints were not good on third down. Certainly that's why they lost the time of possession as badly as they did. And defensively just made a lot of mental errors on that down and distance. And you know, it kind of led to not being able to get off the field, not being able to stay on the field.
Yeah. I mean, those are the two things that struck me in looking at the stats. Obviously time of possession, it's been flipped. Every other game for the most part.
Yeah.
And then penalties, 12 penalties for 90 yards. You know, that's two drives.
Yeah, I mean, listen, all those negative plays have massive consequences to them. When you add in the sacks, that's 18 snaps that the team goes backwards. And in a football game where, you know, you finish the third quarter and you had 40 total offensive snaps, that's a tough deal, right? I mean, it's awfully hard to overcome. And you know, it seemed like every time they started to move the ball, you know, something happened, a penalty, a sack, you know, one of these negative plays. And it just gets very difficult to, you know, as a play caller to make good decisions and to do what you want to do when you're in third and 15s and third and 12s and situations like that. So, you know, all the negative plays that happened in that game, certainly, you know, it results in having no rhythm offensively. It results in, you know, these negative things happening on third down defensively. And, you know, on a positive note, everybody's hands were in it, you know. It's not like anybody on the team can point to anybody. I mean, I think almost universally, almost every phase, you know, had an issue.
So today's practice or meeting goes a lot better because everybody's in the bucket, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, certainly there's nobody pointing fingers in that locker room. I mean, everybody's like, boy, that was pretty bad. So, you know, they'll get it straight. Listen, again, sometimes, and it sucks, it's not, you don't ever want to have to use a loss to motivate yourself, right? That's
right.
You don't want to end up in that situation ever. That's not a good thing. And yet it is a little bit of a reality that, you know, I expect that football team will show up, have a better week of practice than they've had in a few weeks, and show up on Sunday in a different mindset, understanding what can happen if they're not in the right mindset. And, you know, you never know down the road how that helps a team grow, you know, what that does for a locker room. You know, you don't ever want to have that all come in a negative situation with a loss like that, but there are good things that come out of it.
I guess there's always the risk of focusing on the playoff picture, 7 games left, but, you know, Seattle dealt us a huge favor last night.
Well, certainly, you know, that kind of balances things out for us. You know, for me personally, Newell, the team in the NFC that I watch and get concerned about is Green Bay, and mostly that's because, you know, I don't think it's good for us to go up there in January and play a playoff game. And with the loss to another NFC team, that puts us behind Green Bay in the seeding right now. So, you know, I always felt like the 49ers would come down to earth a little bit. Plus, we get to play them, you know, in the Superdome down the road here. So we've got an opportunity with them. We obviously have the tiebreaker against Seattle. Yeah, all those playoff, you know, pictures start to clear up each and every week as we go on here. And yet, you know, you see very quickly what happens when you look past any given week. And I'm sure that the coaching staff will take advantage of this to say, you better stop reading what the playoff implications are of each of these games and just go out and win the game.
Yeah, because that'll resolve itself with wins.
Correct.
Simply put,
yes.
Right?
Correct, yeah.
So, you know, you and I had talked a lot about this off week, the bye week, the strategy. Obviously, it didn't work this time. Hopefully it doesn't change for next year for the sake of the players. What is Sean saying to these guys, you know, in preparation for next week's game?
I think, again, you just keep reminding them. You now have, unfortunately, a firsthand experience of what happens when you don't show up ready to play. And you know, it'd be nice, Newell, if you know, you could show up to work every day and have 100% focus and be dialed in and be at your absolute best. But any person in the world that has a job knows that that's not necessarily the case.
Right.
And yet, you know, that's their job. And at the level that those guys are at, it requires, you know, being as close to 100% mental focus as you can every single day. And I think, you know, it's easier for the coaches to motivate guys with that firsthand experience to say, this is exactly what happens when you're not completely ready to play a football game. And, you know, sometimes as an athlete, you have to be kind of snapped out of, you know, getting into a rut or getting into a situation where you're kind of going through the motions or, you know, assuming that what happened last week will happen this week. All those things are just kind of human nature. It's not about an athlete or not an athlete. It's about human nature. And, you know, the coaches will certainly use the failures of this past game moving forward to help motivate those guys.
Absolutely. And, you know, obviously this is some place where we've been before. And we've been able to snap out of it, and I'm confident that they will this time as well. Zach, as always, we truly appreciate your insight, and thank you so much for spending time with us this morning.
Noel, thanks for having me. And yes, the sky is not falling at 7-2. We will be just fine.
There are a lot of teams that wish they were 7-2, right?
You are not lying, buddy. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. We'll be right back. Stay with us, 260-1870, or text 870-870. Maybe this was the needed wake-up call. We'll be right back.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.